Okay, so here you see the very first PowerPoint, the nine themes that we are studying in Sri Bhakti Sandarbha. The first two themes have all been completed. So today we get to start, by the mercy of the Lord, the third theme, and that we'll be discussing text 165 through 178, and this is lesson 13, and it's the unalloyed. So we are going to learn something about the unalloyed love, unalloyed devotional service. That means devotional service without any kind of material motives. That is called pure devotional service, and how it culminates. What is the outcome of that? That it culminates in cultivating, in developing natural attraction for the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So that is why we need to cultivate this pure love, pure devotional service, unalloyed, without being contaminated with any kind of material desires on our part. So that is what we hope to do that. And here Srila Jiva Goswami is pointing out certain characteristics of such an unalloyed devotional service. So here, today, what we are going to do in lesson 13, text, as I said, text 165 to 178, and the topic is that the unalloyed devotional service ultimately culminates into developing natural attraction for the Supreme Lord. So it's very, very important and very, very relevant for us to listen very carefully. There are three sections here, text 165 to 169, how this such pure bhakti, pure devotional service, how it is so exclusive in its nature. We heard before that jnana and karma, they need, in order to attain perfection, we need bhakti. Whereas bhakti is totally independent of jnana and karma. So that is what we call exclusive devotion.
Again, it starts from where it was left last time. This is because it is transcendental or spiritual and it depends upon Krishna's mercy. Even a single act of devotion performed without an offense awards freedom from fear to the devotee. Even unintentionally, if one gets involved in devotional service, he is rewarded. The Lord personally takes charge of the devotee on his journey back to Godhead. Jiva Goswami gives a large number of instances from the scriptures. Now next is, bhakti is so important that it not only delivers the devotee, but his 21 generations in the past and 90,000 of his future generations. Now next is, what to talk of bhakti? Even a semblance of bhakti or bhakti avasa also delivers. Jiva Goswami mentions the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj did not knowingly fasted in the most auspicious occasion, but got the benefit as he fasted by chance without even knowing. This is avas bhakti. A word about avas: one who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly, jokingly, or musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is the glory of the holy name. The next important point is, when a devotee should remember that offenses obstruct the glories of bhakti. The Lord actually provokes the jivas through various desires to distract him from the path of devotion to test them. He does this by intensifying prarabdha karma of the devotee so that the devotee's hankering for him is intensified. There are numerous examples in the scriptures to prove this point. Therefore, one must perform devotional service with all sincerity and keep on performing devotional service till he achieves perfection. The best way to practice devotional service is to get association of devotees. However, one must be very careful for certain grave offenses. The first one is crookedness or shadiness or dishonesty. This means where mere show of devotion is exhibited externally, but at the same time the devotee criticizes the sincere devotee. So never disrespect a devotee, or else Lord Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva will not be able to help, as we have learned in the story of Ambarisha Maharaja. Srila Prabhupada also says in Nectar of Devotion, and as attachment can be invoked by the association of pure devotees, so attachment can also be extinguished by committing offenses at the lotus feet of pure devotees. Then next is faithlessness. Performing devotional service without any faith, or that means bhakti is of no value. This means when one hears about the Lord, he does not believe it. The example is Duryodhana's response after seeing the Lord's universal form is an example of faithlessness. The Lord does not accept any offering from such a person. Next is absorption in subjects that erode one's faith in the Lord, that is distraction, association with non-devotees, gossip, getting entangled in kama, krodha, lobha, etc. The next is slackness or carelessness or negligence in practicing devotional service. Here as example we have seen how Gajendra had suffered because of this offense. Next is pride or conceit or arrogance arising from one's bhakti. One must guard against this to progress in devotional service. Next issue is, if a single act of devotion is sufficient to deliver the jiva, and if remembering the Lord at the time of death delivers the jiva, then why Bharat Maharaj and Ajamila were not immediately delivered? They had to take another, Bharat Maharaj had to take another birth and Ajamila had to wait for some time. Jiva Goswami explains that bhakti manifests in proportion to one's qualification. Therefore, we should take up devotional service very carefully, associate with the devotees of the Lord, carry on with bhajan kirtan, and this will lead us to the Lord. I have finished. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Guruji, thank you very much. Chal Guruji will give his comments. Just a small correction, the Prahlad Maharaj example which you said, which you referred, actually was a example of about his previous life. He had, that he had an abbas. I mean, what he did was a abbas, like he kind of fasted. So, Charuji, can I request Santa Mataji also, and then you can wrap up later. Is that okay?
Yes, Guruji, please, please, Santa Mataji, please.
Am I audible? Hare Krishna. Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you, Mataji.
Hare
yes,
Krishna.
Mataji. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Please accept my humble obeisances. All praise to Srila Prabhupada. Lesson 12 of theme 2 comprises of texts 149 to 164. Text 149 and 150 tells about the power of the single act of devotion. Some of the statements of great personalities give insight of the power of a single act of devotion. According to Shaunaka Rishi, one's entire life becomes successful merely by one serving the Lord. Various Puranas state that any sort of bhakti destroys all sins and the devotee attains liberation. Mother Devahuti states a person becomes pure in heart and attains liberation if he only chants Lord's name once by casting off lethargy. Text 151 and 152. Bhakti remains potent under all circumstances. What is worth noting is that even indirect devotion is liberating. While resolving a contradiction, Sri Jiva Goswami explains that not all jivas pray in the mother's womb. Only those who were awakened by the association of devotees in their past life get to pray to the Lord in the womb. So this explains that bhakti remains potent under all circumstances. Even indirect bhakti transports one to the supreme abode, is explained by Prahlad Maharaj's example. In his previous life, Prahlad Maharaj unconsciously fasted on Narasimha Chaturdashi. This act made him a great devotee of the Lord in his next life. The take-home message is, it is better to live for 5 days as a devotee of the Supreme Lord than for millions of years devoid of his bhakti. Text 153 to 157 say that the glories of the bhakti are real, but offenses obstruct devotion. Having discussed the power of a single act of devotion, one needs to be careful of the 5 prominent offenses that obstruct devotion. They are crookedness, that is mere show of devotion and criticizing sincere devotees. B. Faithlessness. C. Absorption in other distractions. D. Slackness in devotion. E. Pride in one's own bhakti. Text 158. Lord personally intensifies the normal prarabdha karma of such devotees just to increase intensity to attain him. Examples are of Bharat Maharaj, whom Jada Bharata in his third life, and Sri Narad Muni. Text 159 and 160 is about slackening of devotion. How is it that a devotee ends up committing an offense despite knowing well? There are 3 reasons to this. 1. He is unable to check his slackness. 2. He continues to periodically engage in the deeds of his liking. And 3. Profound insincerity of one's heart. Very important is a single act of devotion bears fruit provided there are no offenses in the past or present. But the exception is if somehow at the time of death the devotee performs any type of the deeds even once, it is sufficient regardless of the circumstances. Nevertheless, at the time of death, a person manages to chant holy name because he has worshipped Lord in present life or past. After giving up the body, he is rewarded with direct vision of the Lord. Text 161 and 162. Direct vision of the Lord is positive attainment of his abode. Why Bharat Maharaj attained another body despite of chanting Lord's name while giving up the deer's body? The answer is he attained direct vision of the Lord in the life of Jada Bharata, as Lord always manifests in the heart of such devotees. Similarly, all of the
So wonderful, Samatha Mataji, so wonderful. I'm really, really very pleased, you know. And so did Sharad Prabhu. Both of you did wonderful job. This is exactly what I was hoping for, you know. And please accept my sincere apology, because today I've got so much to cover, it just totally escaped my mind about this, what I requested from both of you. Again, my sincere apology. Thank you so much. So, see, this is the purpose, actually. You know, if before we start the new lesson, at least we should ponder what did we learn from the previous week's lesson, actually. So you very nicely summarized that. Thank you very much, and I'm very, very grateful to both of you. Okay, so now we continue. So as we just heard, the first act of devotional service, even that itself has such a great potency and virtue, what to speak of developing, cultivating pure devotional service without any kind of material motives. And that's exactly what Srila Jiva Goswami is talking about. And that is what we will hear in today's lesson, lesson 13. And as you see in this PowerPoint, lesson 13 is text 165 to 178. As you can see very clearly, it's unalloyed devotion. That means pure bhakti, devoid of any kind of material objectives, material motives. The sole purpose of pure devotional service is to render this service completely for the pleasure of the Lord, actually, you know. And Lord also reciprocates that, as we will see today. So this is what really culminates such pure devotional service in one's developing natural attraction for the Supreme Lord, which is called Raganuga Bhakti. And that actually follows from Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti is also considered as a part of pure devotional service, but that we are in training, we are in practicing. When it matures, when it attains perfection, then it brings this particular, we get to promote ourselves on this kind of platform, whereby we develop natural attraction for the Lord. So like I said, there are three subsections in today's class that we'll talk about. Text 165 to 169. We would hear about the exclusivity of devotion. Now, what do we mean by exclusivity? We heard a little bit from previous week's lesson that bhakti is very essential even from the path of jnana or karma. Jnana and karma cannot work independently in order to mature into perfection. It has to first reach at the devotional stage. Whereas bhakti itself is totally independent of both jnana and karma. In the beginning, it might help us to come to the bhakti platform. But when we attain bhakti platform, then Srila Rupa Goswami says, actually, it's no more needed jnana and karma. In fact, it could be detrimental for that. Because jnana, actually the original purpose of jnana is to really realize, that all material pursuits are futile, you know. And the same way the karma, the fruitive activities. So once we get that, then we come to the bhakti platform, and then it's no more needed. So that is what the exclusivity we are talking about. So now we are going to get a little bit deeper. Srila Jiva Goswami takes us much deeper into that. What is exactly the exclusivity of such pure devotion? And then we will continue text 170 through 176 about the assessment of such devotion through the kind of eligibility of the devotee that he performs. The devotee must have a certain degree of eligibility, adhikara, in order to make progress on pure devotional service. And last but not least is the final two verses, 177 and 178. We will hear about how bhakti born of such natural attraction is through methodology, because the entire objective, entire aim, goal of Srila Jiva Goswami is to establish that the devotional service, now we should be a little bit more specific. Now we are talking about pure devotional service, only for the sake of, for the Lord's pleasure. How that itself is the perfect way to demonstrate that that is indeed a true methodology or abhideya, means by which we ultimately hope to accomplish our supreme goal. The goal is to develop love for Godhead, you know. So that is what really bhakti is the only way, the exclusivity of bhakti that leads us to that platform. So that is the how this kind of break up of today's lesson, how we'll go about. Now, I will also give you upfront the synopsis, not summary, but synopsis. So that is both Samatha Mataji and Sharad Prabhu, this should help you. This is right, give you synopsis, and you can expand a little bit on that, you know. Here I'm just giving you overall overview of what we are supposed to hear now. So this is lesson 13, text 165 to 178 again. The unalloyed devotion. Again, what is unalloyed devotion? Srila Rupa Goswami actually defines in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the English translation is Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. Where he defines Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Gnana Karmadi Anavratam Anukulayena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So what Srila Rupa Goswami says, how he defines such pure devotional service unalloyed, that all Anya Abhilashita, all other desires, selfish desires, material objectives, it must be zero. Shunya means zero, completely absence, and should also be uncovered from jnana or karma. Jnana means all kind of speculative knowledge, and karma is a fruit of activities. It should be completely free of that, and the another important aspect of that it should be performed anukulayena Krishnano, which is favorable to Krishna, and then that following in the footsteps. Shilaram is following the footsteps of our previous acharyas. That is the kind of bhakti which is called Uttama Bhakti, or topmost pure devotional service. So that is what we are talking about now. So we must be very clear what we are talking about now. Okay. So here is these three sections that I was just talking about. The exclusivity of devotion. What we are going to hear, you know. So here, Srila Jiva Goswami spells out, defines pure bhakti which is complete absence of all material desires. Anya abhilashita shunyam. What Srila Jiva Goswami is going to emphasize. Again, he is going to back up what he is establishing based on scriptural references. He gives plenty of scriptural references, and I give you only very few just representative examples of that. Okay, so such a pure bhakti, which is constituted of nine, and so he further characterizes what such pure devotional service in practical terms it means. Actually, he refers to Prahlad Maharaj's teachings to his fellow classmates, the sons of the demons, where Prahlad Maharaj says that this kind of devotional service it has nine limbs, or the Navada Bhakti, ninefold devotional service, beginning with simply hearing about the Lord and his pastimes. So that is what Jiva Goswami is going to talk about that. So very clear, synopsis is very, very clear now. What we are going to hear, that we are going to hear the characterization of such pure devotional service, and ultimately it boils down to this ninefold devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, kirtana, shravanam kirtana vishnu smaranam, and remembering the Supreme Lord, and goes on list. So that is the synopsis of the first section. The second section, which is text 170 to 176, here Srila Jiva Goswami assesses of such devotion through the eligibility of its performer. How devotees who are performing this pure devotional service, they had to have certain kinds of adhikara, eligibility, in order to practice that. And here he talks about there are three methods to how one can shift awareness, that he is completely off the platform of all material desires, So that we will see here. And this is in regard to how the absolute truth is defined, that we discuss at great length in previous sandarbhas, Tattvavidas verse, that the absolute truth is actually conceived. Depending upon the particular qualification of a worshipper, one class of such worshippers, they conceive only the Brahman aspect of it. Brahman aspect of the absolute truth has no any attributes, no potencies, as opposed to the Paramatma and Bhagavan realization. Paramatma is the intermediate level, and that is the external potency of the Lord, the Maya potency. And we learn in quite depth in Paramatma Sandarbha about that. And then Bhagavan realization, which is the complete realization. Brahman realization and Paramatma realization are just the partial aspect of it, So here, Srila Jiva Goswami is going to talk about this, how there are three different methods actually shift one's awareness in terms of these three aspects of absolute truth. So the source of eligibility, because Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization, it reflects a particular aspect, how a worshipper conceives that. So here he is going to bring one very important point here, that faith is the sole requirement for such pure bhakti. The devotee has to have a strong faith in his bhakti in order to please the Supreme Lord. And there are three manifestations, as I just described, with respect to absolute truth: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And in the context of such awareness that we are talking about, third aspect, the final two verses, 177 and 178, Sri Jiva Goswami talks about how bhakti, born of natural attraction, is the true methodology. So you see that first we start with sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti is a training stage, just like a kid learning how to ride a bike. So his father puts a training wheel and the real wheel, training wheel, until the son picks up and he can ride on his own. Then the training wheel comes off. So sadhana bhakti is like that in the practice. Because we don't have natural attraction for Krishna, then you need to practice. And certain methods are given, very, very potent. Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are so many, 64 elements of that. So if you just follow that, simply beginning with hearing, then even a neophyte would be able to develop this pure love for Krishna, pure devotional service that he can practice. So that is what he's talking about. So from sadhana bhakti, you come to such pure devotional service. And that culminates into developing the natural attraction for the Supreme Lord. And that ought to be our goal, love of Godhead, prayojana. So bhakti is the abhideya, the process or the means or the method by which we attain our supreme goal. Alright? So that is the ultimate objective of Srila Jiva Goswami, is to show that bhakti is indeed the methodology or the means or the process by which we realize the supreme goal of human form of life. Alright? So this is what the synopsis is all about. Today's talk. So now we dive into much greater depth by actually going through how Srila Jiva Goswami gives scriptural references to back up what he's just said that. All right. So in the first one, the exclusivity of devotion, that bhakti does not depend on jnana or karma, whereas jnana and karma absolutely depends on bhakti. So here we'll talk about five verses, five texts, what Srila Jiva Goswami refers to as Anucheda. Text 165, where this direct bhakti, now here we are going to hear what do we mean by direct bhakti, and in a moment we will hear that. Direct bhakti is the only abhideya or only methodology to attain Bhagavan realization. I just told you. In order to realize the absolute truth, the absolute reality, the complete realization is this Bhagavan realization. Whereas Brahman and Paramatma realization are the partial aspect of the absolute truth. So he's talking about in order to fully realize Bhagavan realization, that the absolute truth is a supreme person, and that person is Lord Shri Krishna. That can be obtained, that can be attained by developing, cultivating this direct bhakti that we will see now. What is direct? So we don't have to go through this stepwise ladder. First you do karma, then jnana and so on like that. You know, we don't have to do that. We can directly practice bhakti, and bhakti is powerful, strong enough to get us to the ultimate objective. And text 166, how it's very interesting here. As I just told you, pure devotional service, that one should not have any material motives behind that. But at the same time, just as devotee does not have any kind of material desires, even Lord also reciprocates. He also has no any kind of desires, just like devotees, you know, that we will see here. Then text 167, that worship is for the benefit of the worshipper. What do we mean here? We'll just spell out. Jiva Goswami is going to explain to us, but I just want to upfront hear about it, so then you'll be able to focus what and how Srila Jiva Goswami establishes this fact that Lord is Atmarama. He does not need anything. He has everything what he needs. So when we render devotional service, Lord is not looking for us that, you know. He is completely independent. He doesn't need anything. It is for the benefit of the devotee himself that he performs devotional service. Because the soul, natural food for the soul is engagement in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. We are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. That is our natural position, just like fish in water. So that is the ultimate reason why devotee does that. Not that the Lord requires that. Okay. So that is what Jiva Goswami is going to develop, that particular theme. Text 168, bhakti with material desires is just a mere show. If somebody is in the guise of that he is performing bhakti, but he has material desires behind that, then there is no real true bhakti is all about. It's just a mere show, showmanship, you know. And today's world, we see that actually, you know. So here Jiva Goswami is warning about that. Don't do that. 169. So now he's going to actually identify such pure devotional service is this ninefold devotional service as given by Prahlad Maharaj. So that is what we'll hear now. A lot of references from Prahlad Maharaj from 7th canto. Okay, so we'll go one by one. So basically what we'll be reading scriptural references behind this statements that Srila Jiva Goswami is making. So text 165, the direct bhakti is the only abhideya, only means, only method, only process by which hope to get this supreme goal. So that is to realize Bhagavan, the supreme person. And there are five reasons for that. First, in offering the results of one's prescribed duties. Now this is something that you must understand that. This is the Varnashram Dharma. What is Varnashram Dharma? And Krishna says that is created by him. Chaturvarnyam Maya Shrishtam. He says these four kinds of occupational duties and four ashramas are created in the human society by me, that Krishna says himself, you know. So this, what it does, that let's say four prescribed duties for each of these varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, in each of this particular position that person has, a particular set of prescribed duties are mentioned that, recommended that. If you simply do that, you know, then you reach perfection. You ultimately, so Varnashram Dharma per se itself is not pure devotional service, but it is meant to, as a stepping stone to come to the pure bhakti level, bhakti platform. Once you get bhakti platform, then it's no more needed actually. So it has a potency, but by itself, Srila Jiva Goswami does not consider Varnashram Dharma as part of pure devotional service. Okay, so that point we must keep it in very clearly in our mind. However, how does one do that? So when initially we all have strong material desires, so you prescribe duties you perform according to your particular position. If you are a Brahman, Brahmana's job, duty is to study and teach Vedas and all these things. So if he does like that, then he comes to a perfection level, you know. So initially he does for his own benefit, personal benefit. But then he learns that the result of that prescribed duties is actually he's not doing it for himself. He's offering that to also the Supreme Lord. So even a Shudra, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they also offer the results to the Supreme Lord. So that is a stage just before the person comes on a bhakti platform, as you can see very clearly. So that is the one, what here it says, that when one offers the results of his prescribed duties to the Lord, it is the bhakti that is actually, is the ultimate goal of this that is attained by this way. Okay. So that is the first reason. Reason for what? Reason for coming to this direct bhakti level and to show that that is the only means by which we develop Bhagavan realization. Okay. So second reason. So without bhakti, all other processes, jnana, karma and all sorts, they are all futile. What means futile? Futility. It means it does not bring results. It does not bear fruit. You know. So that again is underlies that fact, the exclusivity of pure devotional service. Bhakti is required for jnana and karma to come to perfection level, whereas bhakti itself is totally independent of jnana and karma. So one should directly practice. That is what it comes out, why it is called direct bhakti. You don't need to go through the stepwise yoga ladder, beginning with the nishkam, first you sakam karma yoga, then come to nishkam karma yoga, buddhi yoga, that means you offer the results to the Supreme Lord, then you come to jnana platform and so on like that. You don't have to go through that and all this internal process. Directly one can begin practicing bhakti, and that is why it is the methodology, a desirable methodology that Jiva Goswami is pushing for that. So here, without bhakti, all these processes, jnana and karma, are totally futile. Bhakti is required, whereas bhakti itself is totally independent. So that's why the recommendation is to directly come to the bhakti platform rather than going through this indirect ways. A good example is that is a high-rise building is there, and there are stairs, right? So instead of a person walking up the stairs, you can just imagine if a 40-story building is there, if you start walking from the stairs from the ground floor, how laborious it will be, how time-consuming, you know. But at the same time, if another person simply takes an elevator or a lift, immediately he'll go upstairs directly, right? The top first floor. So this bhakti is like that. Coming to the bhakti, you go to the directly, like you're taking an elevator instead of walking up the stairs. So bhakti, and third aspect, third reason, is the bhakti is independently powerful. It does not depend on anything else. All this jnana and karma is not needed. By itself, it remains powerful. The fourth reason, one can attain the supreme destination. What is supreme destination again? Just to remind you, to realize Bhagavan, complete full realization, and develop love of God. That's our goal, right? So that one can attain the supreme destination even by slight contact with bhakti. Just as last week's lesson that Samatha Mataji and Sharath Prabhu just summarized very quickly for us, that even a bhakti abhas, even to have some kind of resemblance of bhakti, not directly, just like Ajamil chanted Narayana, but he was not actually addressing Lord Narayana. He was addressing his son, that he was so much attached to it. But even then, it brought the results. So that is what Jiva Goswami is talking about here. That even a slight contact with bhakti, you reach the supreme destination. Just like Ajamila, he was liberated. He was saved from having to go to the Yamaloka. The Yamadutas were going to take him there for punishment for all the sinful activities he had done that. But because he had done some devotional service in the early youth of his time, Lord sent his own messengers, Vishnu Dutas, and they saved him from the having to go to the hellish planets, you know. And then he was given another chance, second chance, to develop further bhakti, and eventually Ajamil was able to go back to home back to spiritual world. In fact, the Lord sent a chariot for him to carry the spiritual world. So here again, this established that even a slight, he was chanting Lord Narayana, not directly Lord Narayana. He was chanting. He was remembering his young son whose name happened to be Narayana by the mercy of his Bhaktivedanta Swamis. You know, they had recommended him to name his youngest son Narayana. So he was able to speak Narayana, 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 and Lord took it as his own. You know. So final reason, fifth reason, bhakti is the eternal duty of the Varnashram Dharma. So you see that? See that? Varnashram Dharma is like a stepping stone, training wheel, you know. By itself, it's not part of pure bhakti. Nonetheless, if you offer the results of your prescribed duties to the Lord, that is a stepping stone. That is just the next step. In fact, come to the pure bhakti platform. Come to the sadhana bhakti level, you know. So that's why here it is the eternal duty, these prescribed duties, and to get to the bhakti platform. So to sum up, because bhakti is exclusive in nature, so now you must have a very clear conception what is called direct bhakti. That means you don't have to go through this indirect process. You don't have to walk up the stairs, going through the Gyan and Karma steps and so on, yoga ladder. Rather, you practice straight devotional service. You know, so that's why it's called, it's very exclusive. Bhakti is very exclusive and direct process, being totally independent of any other processes. And that's why it is called Ananya Bhakti. Ananya means soul exclusive. The very word, Sanskrit word Ananya, itself, it means exclusive. It's unalloyed. It's not mixed with any kind of other Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Bhakti mixed with Jnana or Bhakti mixed with Karma, that is what we are talking about here. Pure devotional service. Direct devotional service. Okay? So now we are going to see how Srila Jiva Goswami in establishing these particular facts, he is going to quote some scriptural references. And this is the very famous verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna actually gives a very assuring words in this verse actually. Ananyascha chintayanto mam ye janaha paryupavaste. Paryupasate. Upasana means to worship. Paryupasa means it's much stronger word. Ananyaschintayato means it's really completely devoid of any kind of selfish desires. When a people does that, people do that, tesham nitya abhyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. So Lord says that such a devotee, I protect what he already has, and I provide what he lacks. So Lord does everything for such a devotee in order to make progress on that path for him. And the contrast, what other things you see that? In contrast, yeah, api anya devata bhakta. So those devotees of other demigods, look at what? Yajanti saddhayan anvitaha. So what Lord does that, fixes their faith in other demigods, okay? Such a devotee. And then he says, Te api mam eva kaunteya ajanti avidhi purgam. So these devotees are ultimately actually is going to worship Krishna, but now they are taking avidhi purgam. That is not the proper way of coming to Krishna bhakti level. Because they have very, very strong desires. You know, and that's why they approach the demigods, because demigod immediately grant their desires. You know, but in fact, another verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that that their intelligence is stolen by that. You know, by strong material desires. So here he's pointing out very clearly, as opposed to what a pure devotional service is meant by. So here the translation: for devotees who are exclusively devoted to me. See that? Not any kind of desires, material desires. they are not going to demigods or directly coming to Krishna, you know, who are absorbed in thinking of me, totally fixed their mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, who worship me perpetually. What is meant by perpetually? Continuously. Ahetuki, apratyata. Apratyata means uninterrupted, continuously. I keep pressing that all the time. In order to attend these classes, you must do it regularly in order to realize the full potency of the attendance of these classes. You know, you get to hear all about the Supreme Lord. So that must be done on a regular basis. You know? So here you see the same thing. That is a very, very important element of devotional service. It must be done perpetually without any kind of interruptions. And who are thus ever united with me. So by that, Krishna says that such a devotee is constantly united with the Supreme Lord at all times. And then what does he do further? Krishna does. He said, I provide all necessities and preserve what they have. So whatever they are lacking, Krishna has provided them. And whatever he already has, he will protect that. See that? That's really wonderful. Another verse also is that, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama upayanti te. So those devotees who are satadam, always, continuously, perpetually, without any interruptions, those who are engaged in such devotional service, what Lord says that I give him the direction by which they come to me. Dadami buddhi yogam. I give them the direction. I give them proper intelligence. And so exactly Krishna is taking charge of such a devotee. All devotee have to do, devotee has to do, is to just keep engage himself in that service. See that Lord is very, very merciful, you know. So this is actually from chapter 9, text 22-23. Very, very famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. And here, this is from third canto Kapil Dev. Also, we learn the same thing. This human form of life is desired even by us. Here the demigods are saying, in Brahmaji, is saying to the demigods, that only in the human form life is possible. So even the demigods, such highly elevated demigods, they also aspire to come to the earthly planet and come in the human form of life. Because only in the human form of life, the devotional service can be practiced, pure devotional service. So human form of life is desired even by us, the demigods. Because in it, one can attain knowledge of the absolute among with the path of religion. Alas, those who, in spite of obtaining this human form of life, do not worship the Lord and are bewildered by the Lord's all-pervading Maya. So this is what happened. The mass of people, 99.9999% of the people, they don't come to the bhakti platform and they are human form and they simply invest in material pursuits. And such a human form of life, they don't get it, until they go through the entire evolutionary cycle, you know. 8.4 million species of life forms, they have to wander through that in order to get another human form of life. Such rare. And if they don't utilize it properly, they blow it. So here, that is what then ultimately what happened? They become trapped by Krishna's illusory potency, Maya. So unalloyed devotion entails, what do we mean by entail? That demands, entail means demands, requires, unalloyed devotion requires freedom from extraneous desires. All material desire must be zero. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Gnana karmadi anavratam. Anukulayena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. That verse. You know? So the basic demand of such pure devotional is that the devotee should be completely free of all material desires. You know, at least Krishna says elsewhere that my devotees, they have, in the beginning, they have this weakness, they have desires. But because their intention is to serve Krishna in pure devotional service, Krishna sees that part of it and he will help. Just like says that I protect what they have and I provide what they don't have. So that's what Krishna does that. But you must have, we must have that Krishna, please, I can't help myself. I have the desire, but I want to come to you. I want to engage this pure devotional service unto you. Please help me. And Krishna will help you, you know. So when bhakti is performed exclusively, directly, see that? With a desire for bhakti, all we need is bhakti. All we have this desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Before actually even we hear, if simply have a desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse, the first canto says that, Tat Shanat, Krishna says, I take charge and take seat in such a devotee's heart. Before even a person actually executes the hearing process, he simply expresses the desire that I want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That without even a vestige of even a moment, immediately Krishna takes charge of such a devotee's heart. What more can we expect? So when bhakti is performed exclusively with the desire for bhakti, it is known as akinchana or unadulterated devotion without mixed with jnana or karma or any kind of material desires, pure. And this is what Lord Rishabhdev is saying. Lord Rishabhdev is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. I, who am superior even to Brahma and unlimited, have the ability to avoid heaven or liberation, but my unalloyed devotees do not desire anything from me. See? Even when the Lord is offering such a devotee, in fact, Lord Rishabhdev actually offered to Prahlad, you know, please ask something from me, anything of material nature, you know. Then Prahlad says very openly that, Lord, please don't entice me. Already I'm born in this asura body, the demoniac body. So I'm inclined for material desires, but please don't do that. He flatly rejected. Lord Nishimdev was ready to give him that, you know. Other references, this is the very famous verse. Akamava sarva kamava moksha kama udardhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So even if you have no desires, akama, or you have all kind of desires, material desires, akama sarva kamava, or the desire for liberation, you still engage in devotional service, tivrena bhakti yogena, intense bhakti, fervent bhakti for the Lord and that supreme person, yajeta purusham param, you know. So that is the verse, second canto, third chapter, text 10, very famous verse. Another verse Srila Jiva Goswami cites is from the 8th canto, 3rd chapter, text 20. The exclusive devotees who are fully surrendered unto the Lord do not desire anything from him. So that theme is recurring now. See that? He is citing so many references. In fact, I am just quoting just a very handful of it. Jiva Goswami quotes many, many more than what I am showing here. I am just taking a few examples, few representative examples from his citations. And this is about Prahlad Maharaj now. Although Prahlad, who was the best of the asuras, this is a spelling mistake here, was enticed in this way by the boons that fuel the lust of common human beings. That's what I was just telling you about just a few moments ago. Lord Rishabhdev offered him that. And Prahlad said, don't tempt me with this thing. Already I'm in this demoniac body, you know. I'm already have this temptation of material, and so don't tempt me that. This is what the intelligence of a devotee, you know. Because why do you want, if you want to become free from this material world, material miseries, why do you want to give more and more material rewards? Because more you get material rewards, You are firmly anchored on the ground of material existence and you cannot become free. It's like a quicksand. More you try to get out, you sink deeper and deeper. So this is the real intelligence. You don't want that, you know. If you want to become free, you don't want any kind of material awards. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj said, that although Prahlad, who was the best of the asuras, was enticed in this way. Enticed means he was tempted in this way by boons that fuel the lust of common human beings. He did not request anything from the Lord because he was an exclusive devotee. See that? He is a perfect example of such a devotee that Jiva Goswami is talking about. Text 166, 167. The Lord and the devotees are desireless. Again, that fact I'm just telling you. Lord is Atmarama, is completely satisfied within himself. He doesn't need anything from anyone. So when a devotee renders devotional service, it is actually meant for him, his own benefit. Not that we are doing any great service. Great things for the Lord. No, we are not doing anything that all. Lord doesn't need that, you know. So here is the verse from the seventh canto. This is again Prahlad Maharaj's story. A servant who desires material benefits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. See, there, a master and a servant. Servant has all the necessary things that master is already giving. Why would he want more from his master? He should not be expecting that, you know. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon the servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. So that he, in both ways, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that. The devotee is not looking for that. The same way, the Supreme Lord is not seeking anything, any kind of benefits from that. This devotional service is a reciprocal thing. Both have love for each other. Devotee loves the Lord and Lord loves, reciprocates that love. The loving exchange, that is what it counts, you know. Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant and you are my eternal master. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is praying to the Lord Nrisimhadev. When Nrisimhadev offered him that help, that material benefits, he was tempting Prahlad. Prahlad said, no. So you are naturally my master and I am naturally your servant. So Prahlad Maharaj wants to remain in this position of a servant. He wants to serve the Lord and he wants Lord to be his master. You know? So we have no other relationship. He emphasizes that. Another verse again from the seventh canto. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. He's Atmarama. Krishna is Atmarama. He doesn't need anything. He has got everything. All this entire universe is built by him and he maintains for some time and then destroys everything, you know. Therefore, when something is offered to him, when we offer the Lord, the offering by the Lord's mercy is for the benefit of the devotee himself, actually, you know. For the Lord does not need any service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in the mirror is also seen to be decorated. See that? This PowerPoint. From which type of... So here, now, some other things Jiva Goswami is quoting here. And one of the words was this. From which type of person does the Lord accept? So Lord does not accept anything, expect anything from such a devotee, right? Lord is Atmarama. So does that mean, Srila Jiva Goswami is posing that question. Does that mean that from... So what kind of person the Lord is accepting the worship then? If Lord is not accepting that. So here the answer is, from one who is inexperienced. So that's what I got puzzled. So this I'm putting question. Does this statement mean neophytes like us? You know, actually it's not necessarily. Even for advanced devotees, also the same thing. You know, ultimately, we are all inexperienced because no one can guess what the Lord is doing or anything at all. Your Lord is totally unpredictable. You cannot guess what is. So, no one can claim that we know Krishna completely. You know, Krishna is unlimited. It's totally so we are all inexperienced in that. Not just neophyte, even the advanced devotees also like that. You know. So then, what is an alternate explanation? A devotee knows absolutely nothing other than the Lord, because of being fully absorbed in the Lord. So he doesn't care. Devotee doesn't care for anything at all. All he knows is totally the Supreme Lord. That my job is to serve Him. He doesn't think anything at all. You know. So he's fully absorbed in the Lord. In both cases, the Lord's mercy is the cause of his accepting worship, because the Lord, because devotees thus benefited. So ultimately, when a devotee renders devotional service, it is for the benefit of the devotee himself, actually, you know. Prahlad, in anticipation of a possible question, so now Prahlad Maharaj anticipated a question. And that's why he covers that base. Just because the Lord does not require anyone's worship, is it that people do not worship Him? So that's the question, right? So knowing that, Prahlad Maharaj is covering that. So whatever worship a devotee performs for the Lord is really for his own benefit. That's why Prahlad Maharaj is saying that. Text 168 now. So bhakti contaminated with material desire. So now we already seen the other aspect of it. The devotional service completely should be devoid of any kind of material desires. It should be pure, not mixed with any kind of material desires. And if someone does that, a bhakti with material desires, then it's not a pure bhakti anymore. It's just a mere show, imitation. So that's the theme that Srila Jiva Goswami is saying in this particular text. And again, he's quoting this particular verse from Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is talking to his fellow classmates, the sons of the demons. My dear friends, O sons of demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these things is required, actually. Lord is not looking for anything like that. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Not by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness or vows one can satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. What is meant by unflinching? Devotee does not hesitate at all. Completely, totally devoted. And his job is to serve the Lord. That's all he knows. He knows nothing else. You know. So without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Simply a show. So if someone has some kind of material objective behind what he's doing, then it's not a pure devotional service. It's just an artifact, mere show. So again, Prahlad is saying, "Oh my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there is no material desire." See this? He looked like this 5-year boy. How smart is that? So first Nrisimhadev was testing him, tempting him, that I want to give you something, please ask, you know. And he says, flatly, I don't want anything. Please don't tempt me, as I am already in the demoniac body. I'm already, like that. So please don't do that, you know. He said that if you really want to give me something, then just do one thing for me. You totally destroy any kind of material desire, even the potential material desires also should never ever arise in my heart. So he really covers all bases. This is so wonderful, yeah. And he, by this way, is teaching us. Okay, so this is the final text of this particular section. So he's already described this pure devotional service now, Jiva Goswami. Okay, and he put a very solid scriptural foundation to establish that fact. So now he is going to say that that particular kind of devotional service, pure devotional, without any kind of material objectives, material motives, that is actually this Navada Bhakti, ninefold devotional service. Actually, that is the one Prahlad Maharaj is the one who proposed the first time. And this is a very famous verse. Shravanam Kirtanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pad Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam Iti pumsam arpita Vishnu bhaktis chena navalakshana. Navalak means, nava means nine. Lakshana means the nine characteristics. Kriyate bhagavati adda means directly. Tanmanye aditam uttamam. So what are the ninefold devotional service? Nine stages. Beginning with simply hearing. Hearing about all about Krishna, okay, all about the Supreme Lord, pastimes and so on like that. So first you hear, chanting means you now preach to others, you know, about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia. So when you chant the holy name, that doesn't mean just chanting the holy name. It means everything. Hearing about Lord's pastime, hearing about Lord's beauty, sweetness, everything, you know. Remembering them, then remembering them, the third aspect of it. Serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, that is the deity worship. Offering prayers to the Lord, Vandanam. Becoming his servant, now getting more and more intent, more direct interaction with that Lord. From sadhana to going closer and closer. So you now become Lord's servant, you know, and then becomes Lord's best friend, and then ultimately surrendering everything, Atma Nivedanam, unto the Him. So in other words, serving with man, vachan and karma, body, mind, and the words. So these nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. So see that sadhana bhakti, just simply hearing about it, that itself is an act of rendering pure devotional service. How easy it is, you know. So see, one would think that it is going to be very, very difficult. It's not at all difficult. In the beginning stages, all we do is simply hear. After hearing that, you give to others that process. Give others the same very process, chanting, you know, repeating that thing. And that helps you to keep remembering, because the motto is what? Always remember Krishna and never ever forget Krishna. These are the ultimate things. It covers all 64 elements. The underlying message is this: always remember Krishna, never ever forget Krishna. So one who has dedicated his life such a service to Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. And that is all that is required. Nothing else is required. How simple it is. You know, nothing else is required. In fact, every other knowledge, all things, ultimately boils down to this fact only. Hearing, chant, Shramanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Pada, Sevanam, and all these things. And in fact, Prahlad Maharaj says that one doesn't even have to do all nine stages, nine processes. Even one process, if you can do that, that itself guarantees the ultimate result. How nice it is. You don't have to go all nine stages. But devotees, the next one, in fact, who are the perfected this each of the steps? Shravanam Parikshit Maharaj, he simply heard for 7 days from Sukadeva Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was able to go back to spiritual world. You know, Kirtanam, that is chanting and preaching. There is Sukadeva Goswami, narrated Bhagavatam. And that is what I'm trying to do to you. And you will do to others now. After you learn all these things, then you conduct classes to someone else, you know. Just like, see, Sanjeev Prabhu, Makarand Prabhu is doing exactly the same thing. They heard from me. And same way, I heard from someone else. I learned from my teachers. And the process continuously keeps on going on that. Now, Makarand Prabhu is doing the same thing. Sanjeev Prabhu is doing the same thing. So they will come for all of you also do the same thing to others. You know, so you learn, practice, perfect, teach others, the process keeps going. So that's where, in fact, you get benefited more out of that. Learning, teaching is the best way to learn any subject. Okay, Vishnu Smaranam. Who is the best one? Prahlad Maharaj, of course. Pada Sevanam, that is Lakshmi Devi, always at the feet of lotus feet, you know. Archanam, that is Prithu Maharaj. Vandanam, Akrur Maharaj. Dasyam, Hanuman. Sakyam means friend. Arjuna is the best Sakha. Then finally, Atma Nivedanam, Bali Maharaj. I'll give another example, that is Ambarish Maharaj. The same thing, you know. So, what is the ultimate message here? That Bhagavati, Bhakti directed under the, so when the verse says Bhagavati, that is ultimately all your bhakti is directed at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And then verse Adha we heard, I told you that means directly. Direct meaning bhakti should be done explicitly for the satisfaction of the Lord, not indirectly as in the case of offering one's prescribed duties. That is karma, that becomes karma stage. Furthermore, one should perform bhakti solely for the pleasure of the Lord, not offered for the sake of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That is what many of our, you know, they do that actually. They perform this, you know, Satyanarayan Puja, right? Satyanarayan Puja is actually the worship of Lord Vishnu. But for most people arrange to have Satyanarayan Puja in their house, what they do that? They expect a big raise on their job, getting a son or a daughter, high education, some kind of object, material object is behind that. That's how they perform Satyanarayan Puja. So that is not pure devotional service. So that is of course a pious act actually, but there is a material objective is behind that, you know. So that is what the dharma, you perform religious duties for the sake of kama, material desires, the artha, economic reasons, you know. And even liberation, moksha, that is also not counted as pure devotional service if you have that objective. Then you just, I just want to become free from material existence. This, I'm suffering in material world. You please take me away from that. If that is your objective, then also it doesn't count as pure devotional service. It should transcend even liberation. Even in fact, when you ask for the Lord's service, liberation is already granted. It's a side thing. You are already is going to get it, so you don't have to ask for that. You know? So, not necessarily to perform all nine types. So here, I just said the Prahlada said that you don't, that one doesn't have to perform all these nine processes, nine stages. Even one stage, you become perfect in that. Practice that. Simply hearing, that's all it counts. Even by the execution of one of these nine, according to one's own inclination and liking, the fruit is guaranteed without exception. So that how guarantee is given that. Okay, so here it's almost 9:30. So let's take a short break so you can stretch yourself, relax. If you want to take a little snack, go ahead and do it. And if you have a question, just think about it, what we just talked about it, before you take up the second part of it, right? Hare Krishna. So I'm going to take a snack too also.
Thank you.